Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Welcome into the Mary Griffith Show. Laura Sievert is alongside with Arts Quincy and then Jeff Mays. The Administrative Services Director for the City of Quincy is standing in the green room. So, Laura, you've got an important survey coming out. It's very critical that periodically you ask people in our area what they want to see happen through Arts Quincy. So tell us all about this survey, please.
That's right. You may remember that it's been like 9 months ago, we got a $50,000 grant to do engineering plans for a new riverfront amphitheater. We are hoping that this is a project that we can all get behind and that people are excited about, but we really want to know what you think that our community needs. We're looking at a lot of like communities. Davenport has an outdoor amphitheater that has just changed the entire dynamic of their park structure. La Crosse, Wisconsin, Decatur, Illinois, Aurora, Nashville, of course, has several outdoor, you know, in their suburbs, outdoor music venues. And that's what we're kind of looking at. Like, how could it change Quincy? And are people in generally support of it? And how big do you think it ought to be? And what amenities are most important to you? So,
and how are we going to pay for it?
Well, of course, you know, we're looking, that's sort of down the road. We're not really asking that question today. We're really, we're still in the phase of dreaming a little bit. And that's kind of fun, right? Like, when you go to the survey, you'll see there's one section about extended amenities and, you know, would you love VIP booths and would you love a retractable stadium roof? I mean, are we going to get that? You know, probably not. Maybe, though, you know, you have to dream first, and we can start looking at the numbers, what people are most interested in. So while we can't probably get to, you know, a retractable huge roof, we might be able to get to some retractable shade. And I think that that's really important.
Right.
So
maybe an awning from Mr. K's Fabric Shop could be workable, even if we don't get an indoor stadium or something like that.
And
but you have to dream about what you want before anything can happen.
Right. And for me, shade is a big deal because we talk about like a Quincy Park band. I'm always laughing that since the big storm that took out our trees, people sit really far back from the band because there's no shade. So, you know, it is an important thing. So I would mark, hey, that's a pretty important thing to me to have a shade area. So, you know, we want to dream a little here. We want to know what you think. We want to know where you're going. This is another thing to collect. You know, where do you, right now, where you go if you want to see an outdoor concert? Are you, you know, you're going to St. Louis? Are you going to things that are more nearby, the outside concert series in Hannibal, for example? Do you go to blues a lot? You know, we're trying to collect some of that data as well. And it really helps us make the case when the big grants come. So we, you know, we're looking across the street at this $1.5 million that is now officially hitting the ground over at the History Museum. The next time I get a chance to chase those million-dollar grants, I want to be able to go with this data and say, Quincy's excited about this. We want a 2,500-seat amphitheater outside with lawn seating and shade and great bathrooms. You know, that's where we're going. So shape the future by weighing in. Also, I should mention, I'm not making you do it for free. If you choose to put your email and your contact information on there, which is optional, you do not have to, but if you do, you are entered automatically to win a $250 Chamber Bucks gift cards or Chamber Bucks to spend at Quincy businesses. So, and an Arts Quincy membership. So you get a family membership for a year. So, you know, we really want to incentivize filling this out. We really want to get your opinions. We also have my email on there. So if you have additional sort of thoughts that you want to go on at more length about, or you want to be a part of the project, you can always contact us. So you can get that survey. We're going to put it out through lots of places, including we've got media releases all going out today. It is currently on our Facebook page and in our e-blasts that you should sign up for because we've always got something good going on.
Okay, I would like to volunteer for this project. I will return and lead a delegation to Little Rock, Arkansas, and to Memphis, Tennessee, so that we can take what they have done.
Amazing,
and we can,
right,
replicate it here because some of the stuff is really expensive and some of the stuff costs almost nothing.
Yeah.
And just getting a good look at what other communities are doing is a great idea.
Well, so, the one that we're really interested in looking at is Decatur. It's the most analogous to what we're doing, but they're so successful. They're bringing in so much money that they're building hotels up around it because it has changed the hospitality scene of the area. You know, and they had an angel donor that wrote one check and covered the entire project. So, you know, it's not beyond the realm of the possibilities. You know, we could, when we fail to dream big, we fail to get progress. So dream big with me on this survey. think about what you think this community really could use. And I want to see all of the things on it someday. It's symphony on it, and I want to see, you know, touring bands on it, and I want to see all of that. So we're getting all the great stakeholders together, and I'd love to have you be a part of it.
Okay, and don't forget Thursday, or was it yesterday? When was your blood drive?
It was yesterday.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about it later. Thank you very much, Laura Sievert. Up next, Jeff Mays. Here we go. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I don't know. Chuck Schultz and Jack Freiberg are wild enough, but now Jeff Mays is here. And if anybody thinks we're going to talk about boring stuff like the city's grocery tax, we are not. I'm going to go back down memory lane with Mr. Mays, he keeps telling me, I'm not retiring, I'm just leaving this post, and I'm going on a vacation for a month, and then I'm starting somewhere else, and he's never going to retire. So, now that we've established the fact that you're a professional in the workplace till you drop dead, I want to talk about a few things that have happened in your career that I was not aware of. But one of them was that you were a member of a coin cooperative or coin collective that tried to get rid of the penny.
It was called the Coin Coalition.
The Coin Coalition. So, Jeff Mays, you have you've been a person in the Quincy area for a long time, native of Quincy. You've served in many, many different capacities, a state representative, a department head for the state of Illinois. You now work for the city of Quincy, keeping that herd of kittens together. But I'm really fascinated. Tell me about the Coin Coalition. I want to know how in the world you got involved in this, and apparently Elon Musk is going to do what you were not able to.
Well, that's right, about 30 years later. But that's 35 years later, actually. But it's amazing as you look back and you look at all the relationships that you've had, and they just keep coming back. Well, the Coin Coalition was one of those things where, you know, I was working in New England, living out in Vermont, for a company, and they had a very big interest in going with coins as opposed to dollar bills. So we were looking for the dollar coin, and we were looking to eliminate the penny. And we had all the data that you could ever shake a stick at. It still costs 3 cents a penny to make a penny, but it still costs a ton of money to make paper money, when the coin would last for a long, long time, the dollar. But this country just has not. I'm surprised they're ready to do away with the penny, but they still aren't ready to pick up the dollar coin yet, I don't think.
Well, we tried Sacagawea. We tried Susan B. Anthony.
We did it all.
We've tried. I know I was before Bears fan. There was life before Bears fan. I dated a young man who was responsible for the Metro Transit system out in the Seattle, Washington area.
Wow.
And their whole thing was operated by Susan B. Anthony coins.
Well, and
so, you know, that was...
I came back from college and went into my dad's vending business, and coins were everything in that. And so it was kind of a natural fit, unexpected. I did that for about 8 months and worked the New England congressional delegation to no avail. But
you know, now though, really, I mean, I'm not trying to make a political commentary, but they're not really asking now. They're just saying, we're going to quit doing it. I mean, Elon Musk has said, it's going.
Yeah.
Probably time for the nickel to go, too.
I know.
But, you know, it's really paper money by itself is going away. So let me ask you this question. You ran into trouble because government wants to spend 3 cents to make something that's worth a penny, but... Do you think there'll be excessive pushback now? Because Lincoln on the penny, some people say we shouldn't get rid of the penny. But, you know, we
he's
have...
He's on the $5 bill,
isn't he? He's on the $5 bill.
Yeah, so what's the problem?
So do you think... I mean, are you in support of this? Obviously you are. But, I mean, is this something you think it will... I mean, I think it's really going to happen now.
Well, I hope it happens. It should happen. We'll just have to see. There's so many other things that are coming down the pike, too.
I'm scared of those things, though.
Well, I don't think we need to be. I think we need to just put some light on them and see if they stick or they don't.
Well, are you then, is your next step, are you prepared to announce here now that your real estate development in Gaza, is that what you're moving on to?
I haven't gotten the phone call yet.
Oh, but, okay, but you're waiting. Okay.
I like beachfront. I'm sitting here, okay, and I'm looking at this little John Newple ruler that you've got here. Now, what is that all about?
We have lots of old things in the studio, including,
including us.
Yeah, we've got stuff that we dig out every once in a while that we find. Why don't you tell people who John Neupel is?
John Neupel was our state senator back in 72 to 80, maybe even 82. He was a fiery guy, a workers' comp litigation attorney. So he was everything that I wasn't when I was first running, and we had so many debates all over this district. It was just, and even though I wasn't running against him, I think he resigned in or did not run in 80 and ran for Congress in a primary back then. But in any case, he always showed up these damn forums. And
it's okay. You can say that on WTA.
I'm not ever going to say it again, I promise. But it was always a lively forum with him.
And he brought a ruler that was metal that lasts forever. The Bicentennial Commission and now has a ruler. So, you know, I think I'm going to take responsibility for that because Schultz is in here once a month and he saw that ruler and he said, you know what? Somebody will keep this ruler if we make a ruler out of the Bicentennial. Yeah. So there you go.
Only Schultz and I would even know about the new
thing. What did you give away when you were running for state rep? Like, I have so many little notepads from my aldermen. I've got pens from people. Yeah. When Jeff Mays was young, up and coming, trying to get that first job with the Illinois State Legislature, what did you use as your campaign swag?
Well, in the summertime, we had, like, funeral home fans. And it was just a deep blue with a white, like Jeff Mays. And
you want people to think of death when they're thinking of getting ready to go to the polls.
That's exactly it. We wanted to keep them cool sitting at the Adams County Fair watching whatever the event was or the Schuyler County Fair or whatever. And I got to tell you, we'd set up at the entrance to the grandstand. We'd have two big boxes, 500 fans each. By the time we left, they were all gone, and that was a sea of blue. And that's what you want. And I was handing them out myself with my wife, and it really worked well. It's that personal touch that really, I think, makes a difference in politics. You got to get out. You got to knock the doors. You got to make the calls, and you got to show up at the events.
Well, I'm going to say something nice about a Republican, particularly you. You know, even when you don't agree with people or people don't agree with you, you have that charming way about you, Jeff Mays. You're very charming. You can, like last night, you gave a presentation. I don't want to talk about that, but you gave a presentation last night that even if some people were not maybe in agreement, they couldn't say it wasn't factual and it wasn't well thought out. As you've gone through, I want to get some of these good stories. So the Coin Coalition, you know, you're finally Elon, probably wasn't even born back when you were doing the Coin Coalition. You're going to get rid of the penny. What I want to hear some of the most bizarre and weird things that ever happened to you. And it could be any job you had.
You should have given me a week to prepare
for this. Weird things. Now, come on. The most bizarre, weird things that ever happened to you when you're on the job. You don't have to talk about... You can go back in time. Those people are probably all dead now. You're old. What was it like? Okay, you're over there, junior lawmaker. You know, there had to be some weirdo things that happened that, you know, you thought, I want to be a state representative. And then you're like, do I really?
I went in with a very specific agenda. And you know, I had been a small business guy with my dad here in town, got very active in the local chamber. They had a legislative committee with Don Ganuzzi and, you know, Al Sellers and Herb Riedel and a bunch of the personnel managers from all over the biggest. And they just asked if I would consider running for state rep. And I had not done that. But they asked and asked. And ultimately, I looked at the numbers and there was just no way a Republican could win that second seat back in the day when we had the multi-member districts. But I did go on the ballot as a placeholder, thinking I might be able to convince somebody else, and I wasn't able to convince anybody else. I squeaked through the primary, and Craig Finley and I ended up winning the two Republican seats by the closest. I was the third of four. You elected three back then, and I snuck in, but it was the closest race in the state. I had a recount hanging over my head until July of 82 when I was in the middle of my next campaign in a completely different district against Mike McLean. So, I mean, that was kind of bizarre. I had not expected that. And I guess there are just so many other issues. You know, you run on this platform, but then you have to, you got a guy from Chicago that's on this committee that you've got a bill in front of, and he's got a completely different platform. And whether you horse trade or don't, it's learning completely a whole set of new issues that you never even contemplated.
I think
that was bizarre.
That happens a lot when people say they want to run for office, even if it's alderman. Something's low level,
yeah.
You know, not that, and that's important, alderman. But they go in kind of with an issue, or
right.
maybe two.
Right.
And then they get in there and find out they've got to do constituent service, and there's a whole bunch of other things besides what's happening in their ward. And so, you know, it really is an education. And hats off to anybody who serves. Because I remember John Sullivan brought, was it Emil Jones, brought him to a hog farm in Rushville. Because John Sullivan's like, this guy, you know, is going to control the bills in the Senate. And this boy from Chicago has probably never even seen a farm, much less what a hog looks like.
Right.
So I'm going to bring him down to my district. And again, Emil Jones didn't represent Rushville,
right.
but John Sullivan knew if you were going to get, you had to horse trade,
well,
like you said, you got to work with Chicago. People say don't work with Chicago. You've got to work with Chicago.
Well, and I walked precincts in the inner city for a friend of mine that was a state rep that was having a tough race, Democrat, and I knocked doors because it's those kinds of relationships that open your eyes. You think about it. Randy Freese and Jill Tracy brought all these outsiders down to the veterans home to see what shape it was in when we were going through all of its stuff. And I think that made the veterans home a fixture here for the next 50 to 100 years.
We could have lost that veterans
Laura
home.
Brought Pate Phillips down here to hunt all the time. You know, so it's those kinds of relationships.
Let's talk about that. Is it what happens in Springfield when we see you guys casting your ballots there, you know, on the floor? Is that where anything happens? Or tell me how it happens. Tell me about something you got pushed through or something you were close or failed on that, you know, it really was who played pool or something like that. Something bizarre that people would never think of made a bill make a difference.
Well, I mean, it was either my freshman or sophomore year. Two downstate Democrats, one from Mount Vernon, one from Deep South, had a bill to open up the Civic Center funding stream to other communities. There had been a rule, no more than these 13 could do it. But then these two guys had the audacity to say, we want Heron and Mount Vernon to have a civic center. And I was in the committee that they came before, and I just told them, you know, we've got a possibility. I might like to be a part of this. And then I called Mayor Nissen and said, the Washington Theater's sitting empty. Should we throw something on there? And all of a sudden, it became a bipartisan bill. Nobody wanted it, but nobody could say no in the House. And then it went over to the Senate, and Laura did the same thing over there. She saddled up with the two senators that were with those two state reps, and we got it through by the slimmest of margins. The governor said he was going to veto it. We were able to convince him that he shouldn't, and that was an important thing for us. You know, it's those kinds of things. You just see the train going, leaving the station. You wonder, is that something that we should be looking at?
These are the things that happen. Absolutely. My guest today is Jeff Mays. I want to ask you, in your time working with Governor Rauner, you were appointed, I guess. Is that how that came about? That you were the head of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. I mean, is that the tallest cotton job you've ever had? That has to be.
Well, I've had some magnificent jobs.
You've had some good jobs.
The president of the roundtable was, I did that for 15 or 16 years, and that was an awesome group of CEOs that were just involved in three issues, education, you know, workforce, and civil justice. And that was a tremendous job, and I guess it was from that Governor Rauner and I became acquainted, and then I announced that I was leaving that at the, I think it was December 1st, and December 4th, I got a call from Governor Rauner himself saying, would you consider? And
now, come on. That didn't come out of the clear blue sky.
That did. It
Are
did.
You kidding
I had no clue what I was going to be doing next. And it was bothersome because at that time I was, you know, still young enough to think I had, you know, some more pep. But that just came out of the blue. And I got that was the most rewarding job I've ever had. Not, you know, I mean, it was difficult. I was away from the family another 4 years that I had not planned on. And but we turned that agency around. I mean, it had a $2 billion debt. And we left it with a $2 billion surplus. You know, we completely revamped the tax system, made it the best in the country. I mean, it was a great thing. And Governor Rauner, you know, every time we'd see each other, he'd just ask, you know, what are you going to do next? It was fun.
Okay.
And I had a team there that was just all in. So.
Well, we'll see if he's running for governor. We don't know what he's doing. He won't tell me except going on vacation and going to a cabin. That's all I can get out of him. But something is on the horizon because he's not retiring. We'll continue to talk about that. I can imagine how hard it was to apply for unemployment when you were the director of employment security. You said, I've never been out of a job more than 3 days. I'll give you 4 to find one. And if not, you're cut off. Speaking of people getting cut off from their source of income, I will be if I don't take a break and head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative to see what's happening in the farm markets today, brought to you by Rex Battery. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're talking to Jeff Mays today about various and sundry jobs he's held throughout his lifetime, some of them elected, some of them appointed, all of them really to do with public service, in a sense.
Yep.
And if you hadn't run for state rep that first time, you would have probably still been in some kind of service, but you would have probably stuck closer maybe to your family business. Do you ever think, what would my life be like? What's the road not taken? Not that you regret it, but what, you know, if you had taken a completely different path, Jeff Mays, what would you be doing, like, what would you be known for now? Because I'm sure you still would have done great things. What other things would you like to accomplish besides saving $2 million? Thank you. Or was it $2 billion? I can't remember. We'll call it billion. It was billion?
Yeah.
God.
So...
Did you get paid on a percentage of how
I
much you saved?
I should have. That should have been part of the contract.
So, I mean, what would your life have been like if you hadn't chosen that path?
You know, I always wanted to be a teacher. That was what
now,
I
Now, there's
was.
$35,000 a year
well,
you can't
no,
get
I
back.
Well, no, I think, you know, my grandfather, Paul Morrison, was a, you know, I still got the book of all the letters that were written when he retired in 1952.
There's a lot to be said for teachers,
I mean,
but money isn't one of them. Yeah, but they are appreciated.
Right. But, you know, so I probably, that's what I had thought about. That was my passion, at least through most of Northwestern. And then the company, you know, the dad had a need in the business, and I was able to come and help out there. So that was a road not taken. And I think it would have been an awesome, awesome career. I it would have been a really neat thing. And that's kind of why I've stayed. Every job I've had has had something to do with education. You know, we've branched it into workforce, but it's always been about education.
Well, you know, it's not too late. There's substitute teaching positions open all over the place.
Yeah.
As you say... As you close one chapter of a book, take a vacation, which is well deserved, and now you've got to look. Are you looking, or do you already have something? Come on, I know you've got to have
not.
Something.
I mean, I do not have something. I didn't have the round table when I left the chamber. I didn't have the chamber when I left Jack Kemp. I didn't have Jack Kemp when I left the state rep job. I mean, they've somehow those things have come together, and I do have faith that I try to be responsive to what the calling is. by my faith.
Very good. Yeah, there's always a way to serve, just people serve in different capacities,
yeah.
But that service is there. When you were director of the Illinois Department of Employment Security, it was a rough time to be a state executive. Number one, Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner reminds me of, he's the guy who's so used to people saying, yes, sir, I'll do it right away, sir, no questions asked, Mr. Rauner, sir. Then he gets in there and he runs into a guy named Mike Madigan, and he runs into a Democratic-controlled legislature, and they're like, we're not taking orders from you, even to the point where even if you've got a good idea, we're not taking orders from you. The divisiveness is yeah. much more than when you were a state rep. How?
Well, I don't know that to be
you
the
don't
case.
Know that. No, okay.
I remember going 5 days into July, watching the fireworks from the Capitol over there because we couldn't come together, even under Thompson, on a budget. So, I mean, it's always had those kinds of things. But you know, recent memory is more vivid than back then. I can tell you he could have done some things differently to work with them and find areas to work with them. He let me work with them, and that's why we were able to do the things in my agency that no very few others could. So, and I did have a solid working relationship, not with the speaker, not just with the speaker, but with everybody from the history that I had had.
Are you surprised how Mike Madigan has fallen? Did you think that? I mean, I think that his stories of his corruption have been around for ever since he wielded a gavel. But are you surprised that he has fallen so far? Do you think it's deserved, and do you think it would ever happen?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know how to answer that. He was very good for this state in so many ways, but he was also the heavy hand. He changed the rules completely between when he was the minority leader, and when he became speaker, he changed the rules such that the voice of the individual member was diminished and the power of the leadership was enhanced. And I can see where he went and how he got there, and it's a place that was not good. By the same token, he was good for the state in so many ways. And so it's really mixed. Same with,
well, Mr. Mike McClain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not been found guilty on these charges. These charges, they could not come to a verdict on these last charges. Again, isn't that really, I want to get philosophical with you, and we only have a few minutes really left, but there is no one all good or one all bad person, except Jesus, I guess. But I mean,
right. There's
no one all good or one all bad person.
Right.
And so I'm not trying to defend anybody. I'm just saying, when you look back over the scope of what you've tried to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's failures in your life that you wish
sure.
you could have moved forward on, maybe personal, maybe political, whatever, you know, business-wise or family-wise, whatever. But you did the best you could. Do you think that sometimes we're just too harsh on people?
I think sometimes we're too harsh on ourselves. I can't tell you how many nights I've twisted and turned over those really tough decisions that are gray. I mean, there's good arguments on both sides, and you, if you care, you can't help but lose sleep over some of those things. And so, like you said, you just do the best you can. Lincoln always had being from Western Illinois, we got to say something about Lincoln. He said something to the effect, I do the very best I can, and the best I know how, and if it turns out right, 10 angels or thousands of people saying it's wrong don't matter. If I do wrong, 10 angels saying I'm right doesn't matter. So just do the best you can. Give it you care. You just try to do the best. And the people have been very good to me here. There's no doubt about it. They've been pretty forgiving on some of these things some of those things that I've dropped the ball on. So I've had a great life, great career, and I don't know what the next turn's going to be, if there's even going to be another phone call, but we'll see.
Well, you're not ready to retire, though. You've said that.
I know. I
think this vacation, about a month, you're going to be going crazy.
Well,
I mean, you really going to the wilderness for a month?
Well, not the wilderness. My son and I are going to go on a camping trip.
Oh, a Republican camping trip with a big RV?
No, I've got, with two
servants,
two pup tents and a and a car, and I can still tent camp, and that's what I've always done. But I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that 4 or 5 years from now.
Right,
so that's why. I want to get it done now.
Well, there's, you know, a great commentary seat here that could be open. You get me a job. You get me a good-paying job somewhere with government, and I'll get you this low-paying job in radio, and we can swap stories anytime you want. What's the one thing you want to say to the people of Quincy? Because you're not leaving. It's not like it's not an obituary.
That's correct.
You could be the mayor in 4 years. We don't know what's going to happen to you, but... you know, what do you want people to know about your life and what you tried to accomplish?
Well, number one, none of this could have been done by Jeff Mays alone. And it's building, you know, the relationships and the team and getting them all running the same way. And, I mean, the bottom line, it's a thank you for the life I've had and the people that have helped shape me and grow me. It's just a big thank you.
What's the one thing this area needs that we don't have now that you really wish leadership would come forward and really work on?
I'd like the Sky Ride back.
I agree.
No, I'm just
kidding.
I'm scared
to death of heights, but that'd be kind of fun.
I'm just
kidding. Want the little cute train?
No, I never did that one, but the Sky Ride was awesome. Anyway.
Okay.
No, I think our leadership has got a good vision going forward, and I think they've laid a great base for what this city is wanting and needing. And I look forward to sitting on the sidelines and watching it happen.
You don't get to collect unemployment because you voluntarily quit, right?
Have
you ever collected unemployment?
No. I've been eligible a couple times.
Have you really? Well, 3 days.
For 3 days.
Yeah, you don't even get
the interim.
Well, folks. Jeff Mays, hopefully it will not be his last appearance on the Mary Griffith Show. I want to hear about this camping trip in a pup tent. Because my idea of roughing it is if I stay at a hotel that doesn't have room service. So I really want to hear how this is going. You're also taking your wife somewhere too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're not leaving her out completely.
No, she's my first trip. And we're going to go down to Mexico for a week and just kind of level set and have a good time.
Have your documents in order. You may not be able to get passed across the border.
That's okay. Especially a shady guy like me.
That's right. Jeff, you're a delight.
Thank you.
You are.
Thank you.
And
so are you.
Come back. Well, some days. Come back and tell us all about your adventures.
Well,
and let us know what your next adventure is.
Well, you just pick up the phone. You know I'm usually pretty responsive.
Very true. Well, sometimes he falls a little bit asleep during city council. He's like, didn't we talk about this at staff meeting? Okay, I'm awake. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.